Hi, my name is Pat, and I am a grateful believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I am grateful to be able to do a commentary on day 75. Let me read the verse again. It reads from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8 through 10. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. The first thing that I had underlined in that verse was that we are hard pressed on every side. Hard pressed. And there's another verse in John 16:33 where Jesus is speaking and he says, in this world you will have trouble, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And one of the things that was hard for me when I was a new Christian was the realization that my choice to follow Jesus no matter what was also a choice to suffer at times. When I say that I'm going to follow Jesus no matter what, it means that I am walking the way of the cross. And walking the way of the cross will always meet with resistance. I'll meet with resistance from my own flesh, because even though I am a new creation in the Lord, my flesh is still my flesh. And so it still tries to kick up and tries to take center stage. And so I have to deal with that. The other thing is that I meet up with the flesh of other people. They still have, some of them are still living in their flesh. That's all they know. They have not been redeemed yet. And so they can give me a lot of resistance. But I get a huge resistance from the evil one himself and all his minions. And so, yes, I will have to suffer persecution at times. But the Lord told me that he has overcome the world. And so I need to focus on that. And even though it seems unbearable to me at times when I'm hard-pressed, there are three things that I have learned in my years of abstinence. Number one is that don't eat no matter what. And I actually learned that in a secular room. So if secular people can tell me that not to eat no matter what, and I see that they can do it, then I know that the Lord, who has given me all that I need in a day's time, will give me the strength to not eat no matter what. Because if I pick up, then I am saying with my life that I trust that food more than I trust him. And I don't want to go there. I do not want to go there. So when life is pressing in on me, I have learned that, put all safeguards whatsoever around the food. Get as far away from the food as possible. You know, not even to even think about going to the food. Because going to the food, I have found from many, many years of experimenting, going to the food will eventually lead to remorse and self-loathing. That's what they used to say in that 24-hour book for AA. Remorse and self-loathing. I cannot escape it. If I pick up the food, I will eventually have remorse and self-loathing, which means that whatever trouble I was having, I'm going to have it worse, okay? And so the first thing is when I'm being pressed in, don't eat no matter what. The second one that I learned, I actually learned from that 1 Corinthians 10:13, where Jesus, where Paul is saying, you know, that no temptation has seized me or no trial has seized me except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. And so when I am hard-pressed, I don't eat, and I also look for God's way out. sometimes that even is, you know, okay, God, it is real bad right now, you know, so where is the way out? What should I be doing? And I know sometimes I have to use that in the classroom when the class is out of control. That is one of the weakest links for me as a teacher, is keeping the class under control at all times. And I work with adolescents, so it is an extreme challenge for me. And sometimes I'll be looking up, and I'll be teaching away, and then all of a sudden I look up, and the kids are just, please, you know, they are gone, you know, and the class is just crazy. And I think in my mind, okay, all right, you know, okay, you know, I'm in a bad place right now, but I know that you will show me exactly what I need to do, you know, and show me that way out. And so I sometimes ask, so I look for his way out. And I also look for a way to press into the Lord. That's the third thing that I do. That when I'm hard pressed on every side, I press into him. I don't move away from him. I move toward him because I want to know the strength that will help me to be an overcomer again. The second part of that verse, it says, we are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair. Later on in the reading, it says from John 26 that the Holy Spirit counsels me. He teaches me, and he reminds me, as it says in John 14:26. And what I have to do is sometimes be still, like the psalmist says in Psalm 46:10. It says, be still and know that I am God. So God is God. He's bigger than any problem that I have. And the characteristic of God is that he will rise and be known. And so I need to be still and let him be known, you know, and see the salvation of the Lord. There's another verse I used to love, and I still love it. I put it in my memory, group of verses in Exodus. It's from Exodus 14, 13 through 14, where Moses is speaking to the Israelites who are being chased down, you know, chased down by Pharaoh's army, and they're about to get, you know, the miracle of the Red Sea. But they can't see that miracle right now. All they can see is that they're being chased, you know, and they think their life is at an end. And it says, and Moses said to the people, fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. The Egyptians that you see today, you will never see again. You know, the Lord will work for you, and you have only to be silent. And so sometimes when I'm standing before that class and those kids are acting like, you know, those Egyptians, you know, please, you know, I have to remember, stand firm, fear not, you know, and he will work it for me. And he does. He always does. And so I have to be very careful to not let Satan mess with my mind. You know, and because when I let them mess with my mind, then that's when I start getting into despair and getting into feeling like, oh, what am I going to do? You know, and panic and all that other stuff. I have to remember that Satan's weapons is lying. He lies. But God's weapons, which means my weapons because I belong to him, is truth. You know, and where truth is, believe me, there is freedom. I will know the truth. God, you know, Jesus says, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So I have to focus on him. I have to focus on his truth. That's why, for me, memorizing the scripture and being in scripture as much as I can, honest and truly, you know, I try to sing it. I tried to hear it sung. I tried to listen to it. If I have a spare moment and I notice that either anxiety, even if I don't notice that anxiety is coming up, I try to put on the word, hear somebody preaching it, hear somebody speaking it, hear somebody reading it, thinking about it, writing about it, thinking about it myself, telling somebody about it, because I have found that these are my weapons. These are the things that help me to stand firm and help me to live my life. And not just live it, not just survive, but to live it victoriously. They definitely help me to stay abstinent. It keeps the food far away, you know, when I do these things. And so I really am grateful to live both in a place, in a country, where we have this freedom, you know, to be able to read the Word and also to have it so available in so many different venues, you know, both in the written and also electronically, many, many places where I can have the Word. But the best way to have it is to have it hidden in my heart so that I can recall it and use it in my life. And I'm thinking about that. I just want to make sure that all of you remember that today is the National Day of Prayer, and to be grateful for that as well, the legacy that we have of many who came before us, who knew the importance of knowing the Lord and praying to Him. And so I invite you, and I pray to remember myself, to give thanks to the Lord that He has given us this beautiful tool of coming before Him. We come before Him because of what Jesus did for us. He died for us. His blood covers us. And because His blood covers us, we have the right to approach Him, approach the throne, and ask for our needs to be met through prayer. That verse, going back to that 2 Corinthians verse, it says, "And we're struck down, but not destroyed." And I love it that I'm not destroyed, because Jesus promised in John 5:24, "I have crossed over from death to life, and I have eternal life. I have accepted Him as my Savior and my Lord." So I have crossed over. I am now an eternal being that will live with Him. It's that all people are going to be eternal beings, but whether they live that eternity with Him or whether they live it in eternal damnation, that's the choice. And the choice all comes back to Jesus, you know, whether He will be the one that they embrace or whether they will embrace the world and the power behind the world, which is the evil one. I love the last part of this verse. It says, "We always carry around around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body." One of the problems that I have in my walk, in my spiritual walk, is remembering. And I'm not alone in that. That's just one of the human conditions, is that if I remember, I remember the wrong things sometimes. I can always remember when people hurt my feelings or, you know, or things don't go right. But in terms of remembering the blessings of the Lord and how He has come through and His promises, I have a hard time remembering those. And that's why I have to work at it. But Paul says he carries around the death of Jesus in his body. He carries that around. And so I have to carry that around too. I have to remember what Jesus did for me. You know, He came down from heaven. He didn't have to do it. He didn't have to do it, but He did it. And even when I didn't know Him, even when I was still a sinner, He did it. He did it for me. And all He asked me to do is to open my hands and accept this beautiful gift that He had done for me. So I remember what He has done for me, that He became the sacrificial lamb for me. He paid the price that I couldn't even get near praying, you know, paying. I didn't even know how horrible I was and how badly, you know, the legacy that I had on my life at the time when I didn't know Him. But He knew, and He died for me even before I knew Him. And when His truth was revealed in the gospel, I'm so grateful that He gave me the faith to reach my hands out and take it. So I remember the death, His death, so that His life can be revealed in my body. I want to be empowered by His Spirit so that I can live for Him and so that others may know of Him. In the reading today it says, "I am learning to live with the unanswered questions in my life." And that is what the not eating no matter what. You know, there's sometimes I can still get into the mindset of wanting to know, you know. And let me tell you, that's the best way to have a miserable day, is to try to get the Lord to answer now. I want it now, you know. If I've asked, and I've asked with sincerity, and I'm not hearing any answers, I can believe that the answer in this case is probably no or wait. Someone says, you know, the Lord answers, he always answers prayers, but there's three answers instead of one. It's not always the answer of yes, you know. There's also the answer of no. He knows better than I do. And the no is for my own good. I may not see it, but he definitely knows it. So the answer may be no, absolutely no. You know, it's not going to happen, Pat. Never. No, no. And the other one might be, wait. You know, it's not time. You know, chill out. You know, do what needs to be done right now. So I'm learning to live with the unanswered questions in my life. And like I said, it really started with me not eating no matter what. For me, it's that once I stop running to that false god, you know, paying homage, you know, to the god of food, you know, and learning to pay homage to the one true Lord, things really started changing for me. And so that's one of the big ways that I'm learning how to live with the unanswered questions in my life. But also, I'm learning, as that next line says in the reading, to not let what I don't know stand in the way of what I do know. I know that I have been called in this day to help an unbeliever to know the truth, and also to encourage a believer to remember the truth and to live it out. And that's what, you know, I try to do. I try, those who already know the truth, I try to focus my mind on encouragement, encouraging them to remember the truth. And in the process of encouraging others to remember the truth, I'm also helping myself to remember it, and I'm grateful for that. But I'm also called to help the unbeliever to know about Jesus. And the best way, of course, is that I live it in my life. And so again, that's why my abstinence is so imperative. If an unbeliever can have the grace to be abstinent, and like I said, I learned how to be abstinent in secular rooms. So there are many, I have many testimonies of secular people who have taken this grace, because it's a grace gift. Abstinence and sobriety, because this is a grace gift, okay? If they can take that grace gift and not know the Lord yet, then I know that he has given me that power today. I don't have to listen to the lies of the devil. You know, he has given me that power today to stay clean and clear and committed to my abstinence. And I want to be that way because that is my best testimony to the world. It's my best testimony. You know, more than my mouth can quote verses or, you know, read the Bible or do whatever. You know, my life, my abstinent life, you know, is what the world will look at. You know, is that God that I talk about powerful enough to keep the fork, you know, out of my hand? And believe me, when I was overeating, rarely did I use a fork. It was usually, you know, the hands into the craziness, you know, stuffing it down. But I'm going to stop right there. I'm very, very grateful to be here. And just one last thing before I start. I always want to make sure if there's anyone who's on who is does not know the Lord, I pray that you will take me up and to call me to ask me about what I know. I would love to talk to you about what I have learned about the Lord. But I'm going to ask our shepherd if she could speak to us about this reading.